This morning, we're coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and when I first read that, in fact, maybe the first three or four times that I read that, I was wondering, what in the world direction do I go? And you have to understand that I thoroughly enjoy, when I'm asked to go and speak someplace, I thoroughly enjoy, we were in this series, so would you do this? I prefer that because what happens is when I start to dig and in preparation, I learn, I experience. And otherwise, we pastors, preachers have a tendency to maybe dip back into a reservoir of messages and try and find one that fits or whatever, and I don't like doing that. In fact, I've gotten rid of most of my messages. I like to work on messages and so they're fresh. And a first time for the congregation, a first time for me. So I thoroughly enjoy this. And so this morning, the picture that we've got, and when Pastor Jason handed this picture to me, I thought, well, this is not Christmas time. I was thinking of Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, but then I was wondering who's the third person in there. But it's the Father this morning. And so you young people that are coloring, you go ahead and do that. And then there's a question on the back, and we'll get to that. All right. Paul is in Thessalonica, and he starts out, and we kind of went through that last week, Pastor did, with the kind of the background of what was happening. He was in Philippi working with the Philippians, and he was suffered greatly there. He was beaten and all kinds of stuff that took place, and he comes to Thessalonica, and he's experiencing the same thing. It seemed like everywhere he went, there were people that took offense to his message, and a lot of things happened. Riots. He had preached the good news to them about Jesus, and their whole purpose, he had expressed that his whole purpose was to please God and not man. And he said that he never used flattering words or covered up the truth to gain money. We were not looking for the praises from man, but we were trying to accomplish what God wanted. And I want to start out this morning by expressing this, that as a pastor of a church, there's a lot of things that is expected of us, but the major thing is for us is that we serve the living God. And let's just bow our heads for a prayer for a minute. Father, I want to thank you again for this morning, and it is so important to all of us. And I just ask the Holy Spirit to come and direct my mind and my thoughts and help me to share with you the word you've given me, and I give you praise. Amen. The Bible talks about, here in the second chapter, talks about doing things as a mother. And we have a number of mothers in here this morning, and I think you will identify this, but as a pastor, as anybody who has any responsibility, and so I want us this morning to take this message as a pastor in a church, as a parent in a family, I want you to see and understand what it means to function in this area of coming with the characteristics of a mother and also characteristics of a father. And we'll the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians. That as a mother, we are come with gently caring with a gentle, caring attitude, nurturing, protective, and giving attitude. They did not act important or superior. A willingness to share their very lives, a devotion that led to long hours and weariness. And I can't express enough the importance as Christians that we have that kind of an attitude. We have an attitude that is gentle and caring. I had a dream last night that was very real and very disturbing in my spirit. And it was a dream about a lot of what we're going through. And there was a lot of persecution that were going on. And I could probably take the rest of the morning and share just about that dream. But when I woke up, and I was very much aware of the fact that it was a message from God to me about this morning, really, in this message. As a Christian, and I want you to, because we're all there, if you are a believer this morning, I want you to listen to this concept, okay? We are to have a gentle, caring attitude. Jesus Christ died that we might be one. He died for unity's sake. He talks about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit being one. He talks about how we are to put down those areas that create division. God literally hates division. And Jesus didn't die. He died so that we, as leaders, as parents, we need to first of all have a gentle, caring attitude. All right? We are to be nurturing one another. We are to be protecting one another. We are to be giving. We have to have a giving attitude. Willingness to put aside where we're at. To put aside even our thinking, our thoughts. Because you see, if you have a thinking or a thought and it causes a division within the body of Christ, and it might be right, but the Bible talks, Paul talks about the whole thing of, it might be a freedom for you to do something, but you don't do it for the sake of the weaker person. So you have in mind that other person. And so we stepped down. I remember one time there was a lady in the church that had a brain tumor. And when I went to see her, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And if they agree, well, I believe that God could heal her immediately. All right? That was my belief. That was where my faith was. But hers wasn't there. She believed that God could heal her through the doctor. That's where her faith was. And so for me to try and pull her faith up to where I was, it was almost an impossible thing. But I could step down and agree with her faith. And so I said, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to agree with your faith. And what happened was they went in to do the surgery, and they got to the brain, and the tumor was on top of the brain. They actually, as they peeled it off, all the tentacles and all the stuff that was going down in the brain came with it, and she was totally healed. You see, there was an agreement that was made. I had to step down, trying to tell her to do this here. So you see, by me doing that, I would have created a division. But when he talks about that thing, so having this giving attitude, they did not act important or superior. One of the most hurtful things in the body of Christ today is that some of us think that we're more important than other people. And we've got to realize that we're no different from anybody else. We might have a relationship with Jesus, but for us to beat up other people with that thing, most of the time, we Christians drive people away from Christianity and not draw them to it. We think we're superior. A willingness to share their very lives. You know, and you heard some of the stories that I but when the storm went through and went through Elmwood, Wisconsin, and there was, you know, there were over 500 farm buildings in the county of Pierce County that were destroyed. I can remember going over and helping the men, farmers' cows, and I can remember having to go climb in there and shoot some of those cows. In other words, what I was doing was I had a willingness to share my very life. I've been in all kinds of situations. Why? Because that's what you do as Christians. You give of yourselves. Your devotion that had led to long hours of weariness. And so again, we are as Christians, we are willing to put aside our lives like a mother puts aside her life for the sake of her children. That we'd have to have that kind of an attitude as a Christian. And then he goes on to say that we have to have an attitude like a father. And he talked about they lived holy and blameless lives. Again, if we're going to be a father and we're going to be a leader, then we are to live holy and blameless lives. That's our responsibility. Because they are watching you all the time. Your congregation is watching you all the time. You live in a glass house. And that's just a part of being a pastor. And so you tend to live holy and blameless lives. And then then you live before the people encouraging and urging them. You have no idea the number of times as parents and pastors and so forth that you're constantly encouraging people. And sometimes you just get weary of trying to lift people up, of trying to somehow get them out of that pit of despair or whatever it is in their lives. But that's our job. That's what it means to be Christ-like, to be a Christian. In verse 10, I don't know, do we have that? I didn't have you write that down. But I'll just say, verse 10 says, you yourselves are our witness, and so is God, to walk all before all of you believers. As parents, let me just say, we have to, as mothers and dads, we have to live before our children. You see, it's so easy to say, do as I say. You all hear that? It's easy to say that. It's a whole lot harder to do as I do. See, it's easy for me to say to the kids, do as I say. But if they see me not doing as I say, doesn't mean a hill of beans to them. In fact, it's a negative thing. And so as Paul is talking about here is the whole thing of being like parents. And a pastor, always thanking God in the midst of our suffering. Your children, listen, fathers and mothers and church leaders, your children or your congregation needs to see you thanking God in the midst of all kinds of things. The Bible says this, in all... Wow! See, that's giving all... In giving thanks in all things is one thing, but giving thanks for things? That's, in other words, he's saying, give thanks. Be thankful in all things, for this is the will of God. So as parents, as leaders, and so forth, as Christians, we need to be people who are consistently giving thanks in the middle of all situations. And let me tell you, that's not easy at all. Always sharing the word of God. You know, in everything you do, share the word of God. It might be the littlest thing, but share the word of God. You know, in the middle of circumstance, situations come, you share the word of God. From that, I went to Philippians chapter 2. And I looked at the believer's attitude. And I want to go through verses 1 through 4. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That is probably one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible, because that tells us how we are to live, the attitude that we are to have as Christians. Agree wholeheartedly. You know, what I'm experiencing, I'm so tired of the hurt that has gone on in the body of Christ because we are not willing to die to ourselves for the sake of the body of Christ. We're not willing to do it, so we create divisions. He says, agree wholeheartedly. We need to agree. Now, you know what? Sometimes you can agree by not agreeing. You can agree agreeably. You can disagree agreeably. It's all right if we disagree. Don't make it an issue. Don't make it so important. You know, we have people leaving churches because the songs are too loud, or this is taking place, or that's taking place. And we, you know, I just don't think, you know, we didn't do that. We haven't, you know, we don't do that. You know, and we've got all these things that we permit, and remember again, we permit to separate us, to divide us. And that's in my mind, in my heart, that's not Christ-like. As a pastor, I've been in the middle, drawn into the middle, of family disputes. And sometimes they're the dumbest things I've ever seen. People separating, I mean not talking to each other. I experienced it in my family, my uncles and aunts on my dad's side, because of the reading of a will when Grandpa died. They didn't talk to each other for 8 years. The first time that I heard my uncle and aunt ever talk to each other was sitting behind me in my dad's funeral. And in my mind, knowing all the details, I thought to myself, did my dad have to die for those two people to talk to each other over some stupid little argument? But that's the church. That's the body. That's family life. You know, put aside your differences or your mom and dad or your children. It's not worth it, people. It's not worth it. Just so you can be right. So you can, you know, have the upper hand. And so he says, love one another. Work together with all of your heart. And sometimes working together is not easy, all right? But you do it. You work together with the same purpose. What's the purpose? The glory of God. That's the purpose. It's to bring God glory instead of bringing him disgrace in our lives. Verses 5 through 10 talks about Jesus as an example. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth. So Jesus is our example. What did Jesus do? When he stepped down, when he was born as a little baby, all right? When he came to earth as a little baby, he put aside his glory. He put aside his power, his authority. He put aside his godly attributes and became a man so that he could be our example. so that he could show us the way to live and to be Christ-like. All right, but he put that aside. He put aside the fact that though he was even God, he became part of manhood, being part of where we're at. Gave up his right as God, made himself, the Bible says he made himself nothing. Remember in John 5, he says in verse 19, 20, behold, and he said, you know, by myself I can do nothing. Whatever I say, I hear my Father say. Whatever I do, I see my Father do. He stepped down and became a man to give us an example. He gave up his rights, and sometimes I think that we as Christians need to grab a hold of that attitude and give up what we think we have. You know, this whole attitude is because you're a Christian makes you something more superior than other people is so, so wrong. You know, I'm no better than anybody else. By the grace of God, I'm a born-again Christian. But it's by God's grace. It's not by anything Arva did. And I live and walk as a Christian, not by my strength or my power, because, listen, my ways are not the same as his. I do that by the power of God, if I surrender to him. All right? And then we've got this here. John. Listen to John 5, 19 and 20. John 5, 19 and 20. All right, it basically is saying, you know, Jesus said, the truth is that I cannot do nothing by myself. All right, how about John 5:30? Got that one? I can of myself do nothing. Jesus is speaking. I can of myself. Why couldn't he do anything? Because he was a man. Of myself, I can do nothing. As I hear, I judge. See, he didn't judge things. He heard the Father judge things, and he simply repeated it. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. That right there ought to say something to us, that we as Christians ought to be seeking God's will for our, you know, for the situation, not ours. What about John chapter 8, 28? Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son, as my Father taught me, I speak these things. He shared what his Father taught him, not stuff that he figured out. All right? John chapter 12, 49 and 50. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. He depended upon the Father giving him what he was to say. How about John chapter 14, verse 10? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. You see, you got to understand that we just read in Philippians 2, he gave up his authority to become a man. So you see, he's not speaking on his own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Miraculous things on his authority. He did them on the authority of God. He was in surrender to them. So this attitude, what we're trying to get across right now, is the fact that we need to have an attitude of surrendering ourselves to the Holy Spirit and to the Father, so that we do his things, not ours. John 15, 5 through 8. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can what?
Do nothing.
See, we can't do anything without Christ. Christ couldn't do anything. Jesus couldn't do anything as a man without the Father and the Holy Spirit working in and through him. All right? If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And what I want you to see is, you see, when we have this attitude that Jesus had, the end result is we get elevated by the Father, but it's God that gets the glory. We need to take a position of a slave and appear in human form. That's what Jesus did. We need to take a position as a slave. A slave does what? He says what the owner or his boss tells him what to do, and so forth. He takes that position. He humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death. Because of this, and this is what I want to grab a hold of, because of this, God raised him up to highest heavens. God gave him a name that was above all names. People would bow at the name. People would confess that he, Jesus, is Lord. That's what is trying to be expressed, I think, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You have this attitude of a mother that's protective and caring and gentle. You have an attitude like a father who directs and lives a holy life before the people around you and teaches the word and shares the word of those around you. You have an attitude like Jesus that was willing to step down out of his position so that he could come down and show you and I how it's done. Let me close by giving you what I... just some thoughts about a believer's life. In everything, we are to stop complaining and arguing. Can I say it again? As a believer, it says stop complaining and arguing. Because complaining does what? What does it do? What? Causes division. Stop it. Stop it. Stop complaining and stop arguing. It doesn't do any good. It destroys. It separates. It divides. So stop it. Have the same attitude as Jesus. Strive for unity's sake. Make unity what's the goal. Make that the goal. Put aside what you think, and put aside all this other stuff that causes division. Work together. That doesn't mean that you stop believing something, but you stop letting that belief become a dividing factor. If you can share what you believe to be true, but if that's what you put out there and always put out there, and the other person is not there yet, you're creating a division. Work with them until maybe they come around to where you're at. But so in everything, we are to stop complaining and arguing. We are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God. Clean, innocent lives as children of God. I don't care how much you keep things a secret, somebody knows. My children always thought that Lois had eyes in the back of her head. I think that most mothers do, okay? I mean, Caleb would say, I can't get away with anything. I could give you 101 examples of him trying. Live a clean, innocent life as children of God. Let our lives shine brightly before others. Hold tightly to the word of life. Complete your life with sacrificial service. Put feet to your prayer. It's easy to say that you are a giving person and you sacrifice so much. Well, let's see it. Rejoice together in victory. I believe, people, with all of my heart, that we are entering a time in the history of mankind. Now understand this. I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back for a glorious church. With all of my heart, I believe it. I don't believe he's coming back for a whimpering little escape thing where we've just made it out by the skin of our teeth. I think he's coming back for a glorious, victorious church. But I think in order to become glorious and pure and so forth and be victors, there's got to be a battle. And I think we're coming into the battle. In this dream that I had last night, there was a group of people that were gathered together in kind of a, I knew some of them. They were from all walks of life. There was people from the Kichwe Indians who were there. There were people from a lot of the places where I have ministered and of all colors. And the mercenaries were coming and there was a bloodbath that took place. And out of the 300 or 400 people there, probably half of them were killed, women, men, women, children. A horrible thing, a horrible scene. And I saw this defeated group of people after everything was, done and they were cleaning up and so forth. And all of a sudden I saw this infused strength beginning to come. And it was getting bigger and tougher. They had gone through a battle, but they were not. They were in a battle, but the war didn't happen. They didn't lose the war. They might have lost the battle. They didn't together as one. And I think people were coming, slowly moving towards that kind of a time. It's not a time, people, listen to me this morning. It's not a time for you and I to push and cause division. It's not a time for us to be complaining about this and complaining about that. It's a time to put aside your differences and lock hands with each other and say, you know what? We're a victorious church. And I'm going to stand with you, even though I disagree with maybe some of your theology and philosophy, I'm going to stand with you for the sake of Jesus Christ. For the sake of Jesus, I'm going to stand with you. For the glory of God, we're going to stand together. And anyway, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, forgive us. Forgive us, Father, for taking lightly what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He died that we might become one with the Father. As Jesus was in the Father and the Father was in Jesus, we too can be in the middle of it all. And we can have this experience together as brothers and sisters in Christ, as being part of the family of God, of standing together as one, Father, for your glory, Father. So help us, Father, to put aside our thinking that we're better than other people. Help us to put aside, Father, the reality of the fact that without Christ, we're just like the world without Christ. That we need Christ. So help us to surrender to him, to have the same attitude that he had, to be a father and a mother and shine forth the glory of God, not ours. To bring forth the word of God, not ours. To let people hear and experience and be one together. To stand together as the body of Christ and work together. Father, I pray for everyone here this morning that you work within all of us, Father, to be that one body, to function that one body, and to see the kingdom of God come upon the earth and to show the world who Jesus Christ is, who the Father is, and help, Father, in some way lead them to that reality. So thank you, Father. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.